Right, that's better. Story is told of a little girl that got lost in a deeper part of Africa. And during the day, the family then came together and started searching for her frantically. And you can imagine how people then went into the jungles and they started to lift every tree trunk and look behind every rock to see where they could find this little one. At the end of the day, they couldn't find the child, and they resumed the search the next day. And the next morning, someone then said, why don't we just hold hands together and try to sweep through this place and comb the grass and see if we can find this little child. They found the little one who had died during the night. And through the tears of the mother, she anguishingly said, if we could have only held hands sooner. And it is with this story that I would like to come to you this morning with the theme of unity. If we can only hold hands and stand together as one. And over the next few couple of weeks, we will be hearing words like family, togetherness, oneness, unity, all those kind of words that speaks of this idea. And as the leadership of this church, we come together and we realize that if we are to impact the community that we live in, if we want to make an impact in Centurion and the surroundings around this church, there's one thing we need to do, and that's we need to stand together as one. We need to stand together as a community of believers. And holding hands together is where we will start. And later in the service, we'll do something along those lines. And some may ask, why unity? Yesterday, I went with my wife to... we went to the opening match of the AFCON game. And, of course, there was disappointment because we had lost... Not lost, but we drew again. And the disappointment, I'm sure. And in the bus coming back... I didn't go there because I wanted to, but my wife is in customer services and I had to accompany her. I wouldn't allow her to go there alone, okay? So we went there, and in the bus, one thing that was ringing as we came back on the lips of everybody was, you know, there was one spirit there. Everybody was together. Even though we hadn't won the game or withdrawn, there was just that unity and that oneness in the stadium, and you could feel that in the atmosphere as you were sitting around. Jesus prayed for unity. He prayed for unity as he prayed for the disciples in chapter 17. We will read that now. And even in the church, or in the Acts, in the early church, we could see that there was a unity. There was a oneness. They ate together. They fellowshipped together. They shared their possessions. If you want to share your possessions with me, no problem. They prayed together. And they studied the word daily together. And as a result, the church began to grow. And even in the midst of persecution, they were together. On the day when on the day of Pentecost, they were together in the upper room. And even in the church today, we see there's so many divisions, so many denominations out there. Hundreds upon hundreds of churches have been started, and it seems as if the church has been splintered to pieces. And we start to argue and we start to have divisions about things that does not matter. Things that will not matter in eternity when we stand and we see Jesus Christ face to face. The things we argue about in churches today does not matter. I'm sure you had the opportunity of praying with someone and praying for someone. And I want to read you the words as Jesus preached, prayed in John 17. And as I do so, I would like for you to just close your eyes and picture him sitting right next to you. Picture him praying for you as he done in this passage. Let's just read together as I pray. Just close your eyes and listen to this prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be one, to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the prayer of my heart in this church, as I've entitled this sermon, Lord, Make Us One. And I believe this passage encapsulates what we as a church will be heading towards for the next few months. As we look to the Father, as we look at the triune God, as they are one, can we also pursue that for ourselves? Jesus wanted unity for the church, and he still wants unity for the church today. We need to make unity a matter of priority and prayer in our church. If you look at our logo on the internet, you'll see at the bottom the slogan reads, Centurion Baptist Church, reaching out with the love of Christ. And I believe if we want to reach out with the love of Christ, we first need to come together in unity before we even go out there. Genesis 11, verse 6. When the people were building the Tower of Babel in Genesis, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. And I know the connotation is negative there, but see what can happen if we stand together in unity as a church. John 17 begins with verses 1 to 5 where Jesus prays for himself. He prays then for his disciples. And then he prays for us, for believers to come, for those who would believe in the message that the disciples recorded in the Bible for us. As we go out and as we preach the gospel out there, people are coming to the faith. And as soon as they come to the faith, Jesus has prayed for them already. Now, Jesus could have been praying for anything at that moment. Remember, when he prayed this prayer, he was in Gethsemane. He was praying, remember, in Mark and Matthew, the agony and the anguish that he was going through. But John records that he prayed for us. He could have been praying for strength. He could have been praying for those disciples who deserted him when they came to arrest him. But he chose to pray for us. In this prayer in John 17, there is one single thought, and it dominates this passage, and that is unity. Beyond his death, Jesus expected this dynamic growth of the church, and that growth would last through all the ages. But we know that we saw the disciples as they argued and bickered amongst one another. We saw John and James wanting to sit on the left and the right of Jesus Christ in glory. We know that Paul and Peter had a dispute. We know Barnabas had also had a dispute. We've seen these things in the Bible. And Jesus thought, we need to be one. These guys need to come together in unity if we want to impact this world with this message of the gospel. And when Jesus prays this prayer, I think we need to take it seriously in our lives. As a church and as an individual, we need to be one with God before we can be one with somebody else. Think of your own life. Think of where you are in your walk with Jesus Christ this morning. Are you one with Him? As we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we should take cognizance of what he says in this passage. That which moves him was unity. The unity of those who would follow him. The unity of his disciples was important to him, so much important that it caused him to pray for us. In this passage, in the whole chapter 17, Jesus prays for unity at least 5 times. We need to seek unity and oneness with God. That is our point of departure. If we do not have unity with God through Jesus Christ, accepting Him into our lives, we have already started off on the wrong footing. But my first point is, we must be encouraged that Jesus Christ prayed for unity amongst us. But let me be straight right here at the onset. And not mince my words. I want you to understand that and be very specific here. This prayer is not for everyone. This prayer is not for the unbeliever. This prayer is directed only at believers. He says, Jesus prays for those who will believe in me through the disciples' message. And right at the start, I want to invite those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior to make right with him this morning. To take the time to make right with him, to be one with him before you come and unite with other believers. Robert McShane, the great Scottish evangelist and missionary, said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me." As I said before, we had the opportunity of praying with each other. We've been praying for one another. But here's the difference. Jesus prayed for us. He took time to pray for us, and he mentioned us before his Father in heaven. And when we pray with someone, there is a feeling of intimacy, there's warmth, there's encouragement, knowing that this person cares for me. This person wants to bring my problems before the Lord and bring my life before the Lord. But Jesus himself takes time to pray for us here. The book of Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest interceding for us. We have someone who went through all that we've gone through, and he knows our every care, and he is interceding with us, with the Father, for us with the Father. Romans 8:34 says something similar. He says, it is Christ who died, yes, who has raised, who is at the right hand side of God. And he intercedes for us. As Jesus prayed for us in that garden that night, that Thursday night, know that he prayed for you. And he didn't just pray any prayer. He prayed for unity. Unity with him as he is in the Father, and unity with one another. And secondly, Jesus prays for the church. As I said earlier, there's so many denominations and so many divisions. There's this one lady that walked on the beach and she found a bottle. And she picked it up and she rubbed it, and out pops a genie. And then the genie says, you've got a wish. And she looked at him and she said, okay. And then she pulls out the map and she says, you know, she said, one wish. He said, yeah, one wish. I've been in here for 500 years and it's been a long time. I've only got time for one wish. And then she says, there's a place in Palestine and the Middle East and the Jews, they just can't come together. Can you not just bring these people together? And then he says, you know, that is a very, very big ask. Haven't you got something else? She says, yes, okay, let me think about it. I've always wanted to join a church, but I want to join a church where there's no fighting. I want to join the church where there's nobody, you know, going behind your back. And I want to join the church where I can be happy. And then the genie says, just give me that map again. I think if you're looking for a perfect church, you're going to be looking for all your life. All that Jesus wants for us is unity amongst one another. In verse 21, in the New King James Version, Jesus requests three things. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. You may notice all these requests hinge on one another. The first request, the Lord asks for unity among believers. The unity that is visible through love. Unity that is visible through obedience to the will of God. Unity that is visible through humility with one another. Jesus' desire for his disciple was to become one. Because he wanted them to be a unified body, to go out and preach this gospel, this message together. Because when people see this, they realize the reality of God's love for us. Unity amongst believers just creates that environment where the gospel message can be made much easier. People will be much freer to accept this message. And it is the clearest impact for people to see the love of God in action. My question to you this morning is, are you helping to unify the body of God, of Christ? Do you pray for fellow believers? Do you avoid gossip? I know it's difficult. We see things and we want to say, we want to add our little tail and our little this and that. Avoid that. Build people up. Pray for them. Work together in humility. Give of your time, give of your resources, and exalt Jesus Christ. And don't get sidetracked by divisive issues and matters that doesn't even matter. Talk about Christ Jesus and Him alone. His prayer is that we be one as He is one with the Father. Secondly, Jesus prays for unity that is based on believers' unity with Him, as I said already. We can be unified if we live in union with God. That is the only time that we can live in unity, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I can't stress that anymore. If we look at the analogy in John chapter 5, verse 15, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it stands to reason that there is a connection and a network in this church of branches everywhere. And each branch is connected to the vine. We are a unit together. And because of this network and this connection in the body of Christ, when one hurts, all of us should hurt. When one rejoices, all of us should be rejoicing. Jesus prays that the present church on earth be unified. Because we are all connected through Christ Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are connected to one another. Have you come to that realization this morning? Jesus goes further and he prays for that they may see the glory of the Lord. Moses stood on the side of the mountain, and as he asked the Lord, can I see your glory? God passed him, and he saw the back of God and the goodness of God passing. When he came down from the mountain, he descended from the mountain, the glory of the Lord was upon his face. And for us as believers, one day when we see Jesus Christ face to face, the glory of the Lord will be upon us. We will only have perfect unity when we are with Him in heaven. We will only have perfect unity when we see Him face to face. Father, I want those you have given me to be one, to be with me where I am. And to see your glory. The final act of every believer will be to see Jesus Christ face to face. Have you made that decision this morning to be one with the Lord? To be one with your brother and sister next to you? Because we are on a journey to heaven. We will see Him face to face. And if you haven't made that decision this morning, is an opportunity for you to come to Him. And we will have time in eternity to spend gazing upon His glory, gazing upon His beauty, and watching this unity that the Father and the Son has together. Not only did he pray for the church, but, you know, we need to pursue love and unity if we are to impact this world. The impact of a unified church is that the world believe that God has sent Christ, His Son. If people see how God has unified us as a body of Christ, if people see how we love one another, they will believe that Jesus Christ was sent for that purpose. To save us. And it will be so easier when we go out there to proclaim the gospel. They will see unity and they will begin to open up to us. There's two words that I believe cannot be separated, and that is unity and love. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciple. This is love. If you love one another, as I have loved you. And we often hear that churches split and they fight and they break apart, and you see the one splinter group will begin in the church and they will go and they will start the little thing and they will grow a little bit and then they will have a disagreement and then another split will come. We need to begin here. Love one another. Love the differences that we have with one another. Love one another because Christ has loved us. Because if the world sees disunity, they will be chased away from this place. They won't come into this place, come in and join with us, because they don't see unity where we are. If we think about it, we find disunity in our workplaces, amongst our own family members. We find it everywhere, and even in the church. And we need to work hard to come together in unity with one another. Tertullian once said, "Oh, how they love one another." When Nero was busy persecuting the church, they went underground and they started little cell groups underground, and people would meet together, use code words and symbols to show where they would be meeting. And Nero would send his soldiers in, and they would come back with a report, something along these lines. They would say, they worship a god they cannot see. They drink his blood, and they eat his flesh. But oh, how they love him, and how they love one another. And this is evident in the book of Acts, as we see the love that the disciples and the early church shared. Can we not share that same love amongst one another? As we have come into this church, I want to ask you, are we truly unified as a body of Christ in this place? During the Second World War, Hitler commanded that all religions unite so that he could control them. And obviously, among the masses, there were those who were with him and those who were against him. And those who weren't obviously faced persecution. And almost every family members in that camp would... somebody would die in a concentration camp, or, you know, some horrible thing would have happened to them. When the war was over, feelings of bitterness ran deep between the two groups that were formed in the beginning. And there was a lot of tension. And finally, they decided that the church needed to be healed. And the leaders from the two groups then came together for a couple of days, and they spent time in prayer, examining their own hearts. And Francis Schaeffer, who recalls this incident, says, "What did you do then? What did you do while you were together?" And they said, "We were just one." He replied, and he said that as they confessed their hostilities towards God, they yielded to his control. The Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity amongst everyone. Love filled the air and love filled the hearts, and dissolve the differences and the hatred. When love prevails among believers, especially in times of disagreement, it presents to the world an indisputable mark of a true believer of Jesus Christ. I just want to read that verse again. "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples." Are you united in love with Christ? Are you united with love with one another? And in conclusion, as we consider John 17, it is important that we recognize this as a prayer. And when we recognize this as a prayer, we realize that God, this was on the heart of Jesus as he spoke to his Father. And Jesus asked in this passage things that we cannot do for ourselves. We cannot create unity ourselves. Yes, we can to a certain extent. But We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to accomplish this very big task, to create unity amongst us. And believe me when I tell you that during this year, there will be stumbling blocks. Those things that will threaten unity in this church. There will be things that will come and will put people into a disarray. But we need to keep our focus on one thing, and one thing only. Keep our focus on Jesus Christ and Him alone. Exalt Him, and He will draw us closer together as a community. Verse 21 again, he says, that all of them may be one. That Centurion Baptist Church may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And here's my invitation to you this morning as we seek to make an impact in Centurion, as we seek to make an impact in our own families and the kingdom of God. This Thursday evening, we will be hosting a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. And it is my desire to see people coming to seek the Lord's face. Coming to seek the Lord's face as a church, as a community in unity and in love. And as we meditate on scripture and as we think about this, I would like to request and ask, you can do it at your own free will, that you dedicate or set aside Thursday as a day of fast and prayer. And focus on this passage that I've read to you this morning. Pray and fast for this church, its ministries, and everything that will happen during this coming year, that we may be one, that we may go out as a united front to the people past these doors, to the people who have never heard of Jesus Christ, to the people who have been resisting this gospel for so many years. When we go out as a united front, we will make an impact. People will see this is a church that means business with God. And secondly, as I close, I would like to for all of us to stand and as a symbol of unity, just to hold hands. And we're going to be praying a prayer that everybody knows by heart. We've been praying it from day one. And I think that prayer unifies all Christians across the world. It is the Our Father. Let us stand together and pray with meaning as we unite as a church this morning. In Jesus' name. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can pray together and that we can worship you, Lord, as a church. We thank you for this opportunity that we can pray the prayer that you taught your disciples. And Lord, the prayer that your disciples carried on through all generations. And Lord, through this prayer we come to you and we thank you, Lord, that we can be unified as a church. And even as this prayer symbolizes our unity, I pray, Lord Jesus, that this will be the beginning of many things, wonderful things in your wonderful name. I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that you spoke to us and that you will help us, Lord, during this coming week, even as we pray for the church's prayer meeting on Thursday and what we will be trying to accomplish there, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be the center of the stage there, Lord. And that we will exalt your name above all things. I pray, Lord, for every ministry of this church. Lord, I pray for everything that we have planned together or that we will be planning together as a church. That it will come to fruition, Lord, as we lift your name above all things. And all God's people say, Amen.